Scripture reading will come from Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 15. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And ye be thankful.
Thank you, brother, for that reading from the Word of God in the book of Colossians, and a very pleasant good morning to you. Thank you for being in our worship assembly. We trust that you brought your Bible with you, and we'll be willing to follow along in our study as we look into the Word of God to consider this morning how that we might implant kindness in our children. Not all of us are trying to raise children at this present time, but we can, I think, benefit by looking into the Word of God to see its admonitions about producing kindness in other people and in ourselves, of course, as well. Wouldn't it really be just wonderful to live in a kind world where people were courteous all the time? They used good manners. They used sweet words. That men opened doors for ladies all of the time and practiced courteous behavior every hour of it. Wouldn't that be such a wonderful world to live in? Of course, that's being a little bit unrealistic, isn't it? Living in the devil's territory, in enemy country. But as far as raising our children and teaching our children, we can instill important values in them and still produce children of great kindness in this world. And that's what this old world needs, isn't it? People who can demonstrate basic kindness toward other people. That's certainly what the Lord would have us do, as is clearly seen in His will. You know, God has put something within us, I think, that when we do something that's very kind for someone else, doesn't it give us a good feeling? I think God put that in us to bolster our acts of kindness and to further encourage us to be that type of person and do those good things. It's not difficult to teach your children the value of kindness. Great things can snowball from basic principles that you teach your children about good things, about respect for other people and honor for other people and honor for parents in the home. Kindness is very much a part of the will of God for His people. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2 and verse 10 and said, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." If we don't have kindness, those good works will be very difficult coming as fruit in our lives. We must cultivate kindness in ourselves and also in our children. God prepared beforehand that we should walk in those good works, Paul says there in that verse. What really is kindness? You know, if you look in several different dictionaries, you'll get some different words that when you put those all together, it kind of gives you a real good sense of what kindness is. And so that's what I did with, I didn't just take one particular dictionary, but it's having or showing a tenderness. It is being of a good conscience, being of a considerate disposition, and having a helping nature about yourself. So one who is a kind person is the person who's friendly, generous, warm-hearted toward others. He's sympathetic. He is gentle toward other people, considerate, affectionate, forbearing toward other people. Synonyms of that word are words like philanthropic, You've heard of being a philanthropist, on how some men who have amassed huge fortunes decide when they have trouble spending all the money they're making that they want to donate their money in acts of kindness, we trust, for good causes among men. It's this benevolent spirit that people have. Tender-hearted would be a synonym for the word kindness. Compassionate. Gracious. When we think of grace, we certainly think of God, don't we? And His favor toward us, even when we didn't deserve it. Gracious toward other people would be demonstrated by our kindness. And in the New Testament, the word kindness describes the attitude that exists in God's people that is demonstrated by various actions that they do. Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 35, for example, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. That's the kind of God that we serve. One who doesn't give us what we deserve, and I'm thankful for that, aren't you? But a God that is gracious and kind, even toward evil men and ungrateful men. Paul said in Romans 2 and verse 4, or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Thank God for His kindness toward you and toward me. Amen? Thank God for His kindness. Kindness is really an essential quality, wouldn't you say? Just in view of the passages that we've looked at already, wouldn't you say that kindness is essential in the lives of Christians? Certainly it is. And we want our children to be kind toward other people, don't we? One's not walking before God as he ought to if he doesn't demonstrate kindness in his life. It is one trait that's characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians 5 and verse 22. If you're using the King James Version, the word there is gentleness. It's a synonym for kindness. Its absence in our lives indicates really that we have yet to have crucified the flesh as we should, as Paul instructed us in Galatians 5 and verse 24. Kindness is an attribute of the new man who's raised with Christ. As we examined in our text that Brother Woods read for us this morning from Colossians, and that whole chapter really shows us what that new man in Christ really is all about in Colossians 3. Kindness is acquired by the renewal of our minds through a knowledge of Christ in whose image we were created. Colossians 3 and verse 12 in our text, so as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of, and one of the things there in that list is kindness. Furthermore, kind is something that's not static. It's not motionless. It is very much alive. It is to be very active, dynamic, vibrant. It is to be living. And it must be demonstrated and practiced in our lives, as it was in the life of Jesus Christ. The worthy woman of Proverbs had the law of kindness in her mouth, if you remember, keeping her words in check from Proverbs 31 and verse 26. The men of Malta showed the Apostle Paul a great amount of kindness in receiving them in Acts 28 and verse 2 when they were shipwrecked. The servants of Christ are to be known by their kindness, 2 Corinthians 6, 4 through 6. And Solomon said, the wise man Solomon, long ago in Proverbs 19 and verse 22, what is desirable in a man is his kindness. And that says a lot, doesn't it? What is desirable in a man is his kindness. In other words, what counts is doing what you can do, demonstrating the kind of spirit that should be within all of God's people. Demonstrating that by what you do rather than just talking about it is the idea. John put it this way, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth in 1 John 3 and verse 18. There isn't any kindness in the heart that says, be warmed and filled, but sends away the destitute with nothing, as James points out in James 2, 15 and 16. Kindness very much has a character to it, doesn't it? You get that flavor when you read about kindness in the Word of God, and you see its very, very close association with the word love. And Paul even said in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4 that love is kind. You know, one of the ways that you know that you have love within you is the demonstration of kindness that you show toward others. This is must be true, since love, by definition, must really seek the goodwill of others. Isn't that what God did? When the inspired writers talk to us and tell us over and over again about the great love of God, don't we see that demonstrated by God in what He has done for us? Well, certainly we do. Certainly it is an expression of His goodwill, but His undefeatable goodwill also toward us. This is true whether we speak of the kindness of God toward man or man toward other men. Kindness is always manifested without respect of persons. The Christian is not kind to some and not kind to others. You know, that's duplicity. That's hypocrisy. That's not genuine Christianity. Our Lord wasn't that way. The Christian is certainly not kind on the basis of whatever your racial background is, whatever your social background is, whatever your economic background is. James said in James 2 and verse 1, my brethren, hold not the faith. Do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. You know, that's not true faith in Christ, James says. We should show kindness in the same way that our Father has shown kindness toward all people. When we withhold kindness from some men on whatever basis it might be, whatever basis we formulate in our own minds, then James goes on to say that we really become judges with evil motives in James chapter 2 and verse 4. So kindness is always manifested without respect of persons. And then we can better understand the necessity of being kind to all men when we recognize the grounds for showing kindness is really grace or favor as opposed to merit or worth. God didn't show His kindness toward mankind on the grounds of being worthy to receive it, did He? Certainly not. Certainly man was not worthy of that. Titus 3, verses 4 and 5, but when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. When did we ever merit the favor of God's Son? We never have we? But Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 7 that He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We can perceive the kindness of God in all of His actions toward mankind, can't we? And through these, we are drawn to Him. Do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? As we've said from Romans 2 and verse 4. When Paul and Barnabas were at Lystra in Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, Paul said this, and yet he did not leave himself, talking about God, God did not leave himself without witness. in that He did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Now that's what the great God has done to men that are wholly and totally unthankful to Him or anyone else for anything they ever get in this life. For the evil men that Paul was preaching to on this occasion, pleading with them to repent before God, to change the way that they thought in their heart of hearts and thus as a result the way they lived. He was pleading with them on that basis. The goodness, the kindness of God. It's being kind as the Father is kind that makes us truly as His children. Jesus said, "For He causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." That's our God. That's our God and the wonderful demonstration of kindness that He has. Now the Bible is just filled with all kinds of examples of kindness shown, where the word is used, where a synonym is used, or where we can clearly see demonstrated love and gentleness and forbearance and good deeds done to other people. And we could talk for hours this morning about all of the examples contained in the Bible and all of the instructions and admonitions given to people who want to be the people of God about being kind toward others. There are so many that they could probably not be named before well into the afternoon or well into the night tonight. There are just so many of them. But just to pick out a few, here are a few. One is kind when he is honest in his dealings toward other people. You know, you wouldn't expect a kind person to cheat someone, would you? Or to be dishonest or steal something from someone. That's not kindness, is it? So kindness is characteristic of one who's honest when he's dealing with other people. He's sympathetic and comforting. He shares others' burdens with them. He shows friendship. He honors the dead even. He's merciful toward his enemies. He demonstrates loyalty, and of course he shows gratitude, thankfulness to other people, compassion to other people, and benevolence to other people, just as God is benevolent, as we noticed, and he is certainly courteous, showing consideration to other people. In Acts 27 and verse 3, hospitable, just as those men of Malta on the island were. They showed, the New American Standard Version calls it extraordinary kindness shown to the shipwreck victims on the island of Malta. Extraordinary kindness. You know, that calls attention to the great indwelling of kindness in these people that came forth when here were some people they could help that were in need that came their way. That kindness was already in them and it overflowed. They demonstrated it, and the inspired writer called it extraordinary kindness. You don't see that kindness, generally speaking, in a world filled with wickedness. But the Holy Spirit was careful to point that out in Acts 28 and verse 2. And I think that's worthy of something for us to think about, isn't it? And of course, a person is forgiving. Be kind one to another is the admonition. So there are just a whole slew of examples that could be given from the Bible. But now, just getting down to brass tacks, what we're really concerned with and where we're going with all of this is, how do we teach that to our children? How do we implant that value of kindness in our children? How do we implant it in ourselves? And how do we implant it in our children? We want our children to grow up and to be kind. I want my children to grow up and be kind. I want my grandchildren to grow up and be kind to others. Even in the face of rebuffs and even rebuke from other people who don't appreciate that kindness, I still want them to be kind and loving because their Heavenly Father is. And that's the God we serve. As parents, we recognize, really, I think, that the two greatest sources of influence on our children is, number one, their contact with family members, and number two, their contact with their friends. Now, where they get things that shape and mold their character is primarily going to come from those two sources, their family and their friends. We must remember the admonition of 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Now, if you want to have a bad family, you just count it, mark it down. Your children will not grow up to be kind. They just won't. There may be 1% or some where some extraordinary situation, a person grows up and turns his back on the wicked, evil family that he was raised in and decides that he wants to be converted and he wants to believe and obey the truth. That's a very, very small percentage of people that go through that experience. It is. The greater influence here is that if you're hanging around bad company, it's going to corrupt good morals. It's going to have an evil influence on you. It's going to overtake you. Now, that happens in families and as well as among friends. It's important that we keep that in mind. Children are prone to do and to be what they see and what they live with. How important is it? How do we implant kindness in our children? Number one, we model it. We are an example of kindness. That's the best way to teach someone any principle of the Lord Jesus Christ, is if they see it living in you. We can't say too much about the power of example right here. If we're not kind in our dealings with our children, it should be no surprise to us if they turn out to manifest a brutal spirit as adults. They've got to see it living in us. If they're allowed to associate with peers who are known to be without compassion, that are brutally wicked or brutally disheartening evil people who do bad things with no proper regard for other people, then that spirit will definitely influence them. And that's just not me saying that. That's the wisdom of the ages. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 22, beginning in verse 24, do not associate with a man given to anger. Don't do it, he says. Or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. You see that power of influence there? And some people might be courageous enough or brazen enough to say, well, I understand he's that way and that won't rub off on me. That goes just against what the admonition that Paul gave in 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 33. And we can't go against what God says for us in our lives. The best way that we can implant kindness in our children is to model it. Show them. Be an example. That's the best way. Not by explaining what it is to be kind and saying, now you ought to be kind, but showing them what kindness really is by doing it. Whether you do volunteer work or you mow someone's lawn for them or you pick up sticks out of their yard or you take the trash out for your neighbor, you help them with their chores around the house, people who are disabled, people who are older that have trouble doing things, if you clean out their gutters, if you help them out with those acts of kindness, treating others with dignity and respect. Children pick that up, and they want that, and they will emulate that in their lives. But there's a warning. Your actions have to match your words with your children. And that means no being nice to someone in person and then stabbing them in the back in the privacy of your home where your children see who you really are and hear about who you really are. It can't work that way. And if you should show respect for others, no matter what their financial situation is or their race or their gender or their age or their social backgrounds, their beliefs, or their personality. Even if someone is not a great person, and you just don't like them, and you have a good reason for not liking them, you can still show them kindness. God does. He allows the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Should God's followers have that characteristic about them? Sure they should. Absolutely. If you run a kind, respectful household, then children learn in that kind of atmosphere what it feels like to be treated kindly. Now that doesn't mean that you don't ever punish a child, because children need to be punished from time to time, but it does help to make sure that all discipline comes with an explanation as to why they're being disciplined and that it's not done in anger. Enjoy kindness. You know, it's a good thing. It's positive. It's happy. It smiles. It's the sweet smell of flowers, fresh cut on mama's kitchen table. You know, kindness is good. Enjoy it. It's a good thing in this life. The whole point of being kind is to please God and to have a blessed life. You know, Jesus promised us a lot of blessings in the hereafter, but he said we could live an abundant, blessed life now, too. And we can. So when your child does a kind act, and when you witness something kind, or you're a recipient of kindness done by them, show your joy to them. And be open to kind acts, and let your child feel how wonderful it is to give to someone else. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Bible study, of course, is a very important key to raising children with a heart of kindness. Our text, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And as we made the point, the Bible is filled with stories that can example this and model this for children and set before them a standard of right behavior. How important kindness is, so read about it. Read about it yourself. Read to your children about kindness. That's so very important. By far the best example we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can open up the Gospels and read the life of Christ and just see kindness dripping from the pages, can't we? Can't we see His compassion and His love and His concern and His acts of kindness for other people who are downtrodden and needy and really need a remedy for the sin problem? Don't we really see that in the life of Christ? There's so many things to read to our children. And we need to become intimately acquainted with our Savior and have our children do the same thing, don't we? Peter said, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps in 1 Peter chapter 2, so that we might die and live to sin, and live to righteousness. He went on to say in verse 25 of 1 Peter 2, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you've returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. I want my children later on in life, even if they do stray away from God, I want them to remember the lessons they learned in their home, don't you? And they will. They will. If you make sure that they know about Jesus Christ, if you read the Scriptures to them, teach it to them. But use more than one teaching method. We're not saying the only way to teach our children is to sit them down at the kitchen table and open the Bible and read to them and quiz them on what you just read to them. There are many ways to teach godly principles of truth to our children. We learn to be kind by giving kindness, don't we? Give it. Give it away. Be kind to other people. Matthew 7 and verse 12, in everything therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. You know, if we teach that principle to our children, we've come a long way right there, haven't we? Teach people give. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you. Jesus said this encompasses all the law and the prophets in Matthew 7. Luke 6 and verse 38, Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, for by your standard of measure it will be measured to you in return. What is he talking about there when he's talking about good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over? You know, men in times past have done some unkind things and mistreated people. And at the grocery store, when you walk in there and you order a pound of meat, and you see the guy who's preparing the meat for you, and he puts his finger on the scale to kind of help weigh it down a little bit so you don't get the full pound. You're paying for the full pound, but you don't really get it. Is that an act of kindness? It's certainly an act of dishonesty, but is that kindness? No, it's not. And Jesus tells his people here, when he's talking about this important application to everyday life, someone comes to you because they need something from you, and you're going to give them a pound of grain. You know, don't put air bubbles in the bottom and make it appear like it's more than it should. Don't do that. Fill it up. Press it down. Put more in. Pack it in there real tight. Let it overflow. Show your generosity is the concept and the idea there. Running over, for by your standard that you use with other people, it's going to come back to you. It's going to come back to you. Teach children to recognize the feelings of other people. That's very, very important. Don't you think? Haven't you seen some adults that live their lives and they have the least concern for what anybody else feels or thinks? Have you seen some individuals like that? They're not pleasant to be around, are they? We don't want to raise our children like that. We want them to be sensitive toward the feelings of other people. If they're not, they won't lift a finger to help anybody in this life. Can God's people be that way? They can they? That's not good for society, just thinking about society and the world and the place where we live. That's not good for society, is it? Teach our children to recognize the feelings of others. Other people in this world have feelings besides you. And we need to teach our children that. Before they can be empathetic to other people, they need to know that other people have feelings too. Andrew Fuller, family therapist and author of Tricky Kids, suggests that parents occasionally point to people that children see and ask their children what they think those other people are feeling. Questions like, what do you think that man is feeling? Or, what sort of day do you think that woman is having? And that will give children some ideas that others have feelings too. And another important thing to remember here is kindness should also extend to animals. If you have a person in the neighborhood that's cruel to animals, you just better watch out, because that person's going to be cruel to other people. And we don't want our children to be like that, do we? The greatest kindness any of us has ever known is through the Almighty, through Jesus Christ. Peter said in 1 Peter 2, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. You know, and if you get a good taste of that kindness of the Lord, you like it, don't you? And I like it. And our children will like it too when they get a good taste of it, and that'll be great. In the difficult times in our relationships, we need to reflect on what we have received in order to properly judge what we should give. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other as God in Christ has also forgiven you. What a great motto that is to live by. Realize also the value of an apology. Teaching your children to be kind isn't exclusively all about good stuff. There's an act of kindness that takes difficult. It's difficult. It takes some doing for children to apologize. Sometimes, probably more often than you care to admit, it's about knowing that you've made a mistake, that you've done something wrong, and seeking forgiveness. If you do that yourself, and your children see that in you, it will help them to develop a heart of compassion and responsibility. If they see that you never admit any mistakes, that you never talk about anything you've ever done wrong, and that you're certainly not in an apologetic mood to anybody or anything because you're in the right and everybody else is wrong, guess what? They're going to be the same exact way in this life. And that's not right. That's just not right. Young people need to be guided into a proper appreciation for the kindness of God that has appeared to us in order to be able to manifest a like kindness toward the world. Because Jesus said, our Lord and Savior commanded us, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's what we need to raise our children to do. And it's not an easy thing. It goes against the grain of the society that we live in, doesn't it? And as with anything, practice makes perfect. Create for your family opportunities to practice the virtue of kindness. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, Paul said in Romans 12, beginning in verse 10. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And he goes on to talk about several different things there that are all acts of kindness. It's important, I think, also that we praise kindness in our children. When we see them in an act of kindness, that we reinforce that by saying, you're doing right. You're doing a good thing. I appreciate you, and I love you more for who you are and what you are and what you did. You know, that'll move mountains in the lives of our children. Say something like that to them. It really will. Praise them. Be on the lookout for your child pushing his friend on the swing or helping his sister with her homework or opening the door for a senior. And if your child is ages 6 through 10, you might want to adapt the Caught Being Kind program that Murray Nation, assistant professor at Vanderbilt University and expert in things like bullying among children, has been testing in schools. If you catch them doing something good, you put a star by their name on the refrigerator, and then when those build up to a certain point, you treat them to a special treat. You take them out and give them some recognition, showing them that that's important. Those deeds of kindness are important. Reward them. Help others by having them do kind deeds. Just do it. You know, do those things. And watch the language. Words have enormous power. Work on purging your vocabulary of words and phrases that antagonize and hurt other people. And when you'll find that easier to do among your children too. Discourage your children from putting each other down. That's not an act of kindness. When you're together and you hear your children insulting one another, demeaning one another, put a stop to it. Make them stop doing that. Kindness truly does begin at home, and your children have to learn to be kind to one another if they're going to carry on that same kind of behavior when they get out of the house and when they become adults and they can make decisions for themselves. And there's all kinds of good works to be done. The Bible is filled with those things. Give them good works to do. May God bless you for being in our assembly today, and I hope that these passages that we've looked at about kindness and how important it is will help you. We're certainly interested in helping you to be what God wants you to be in this life, and certainly not hurting you. If you're in our assembly today and you've come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you'll confess Him before men and repent of sins, willing to be baptized into Christ, we can do that this morning, right here. Baptistry's ready, clothing's prepared. We are ready, waiting, anxious, calling for you to respond to the invitation of the Lord, if you will, this very day. Angels in heaven will rejoice, and this body of believers will rejoice. There'll be smiles, tears, all of joy, if you will obey Christ today. Can you do that? If you're in our assembly and you need to do that, please come now, while together we stand and encourage you by singing this song.